Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, yeah. On your home for the best Ravens coverage. What time is it? It's time for News from the Nest with Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan.
All right, time to talk some football here on this Thursday. Total request Thursday at that. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. Week 5 starts tonight, Colts and Broncos. You can hear the game on 105.7 The Fan. Here to talk about that and more. He's on the Ashley Furniture Hotline. Longtime NFL coach, former coach of the Lions, offense coordinator for the Ravens, among other things. Let's welcome back to the program Marty Morningweg. Marty, good afternoon. What's happening?
Bob, how we doing? Let's rock and roll.
Well, let's rock and roll. We'll break out. So it's on the second anniversary of the passing of the great Eddie Van Halen. Let's rock and roll with some Colts and Broncos. All right, both teams, I guess, Marty, kind of underwhelming offensively. What have you noticed? And we'll start with Indy because Vinny and I both picked them to win the division, and they still may, but what's going wrong there with the Colts right now tonight minus Jonathan Taylor?
Well, I'll tell you, the Colts against the Broncos, the Colts are 1-2-1. This is such a must-win game, and it's crazy to say that so early in the season. But a 1-3-1 team, that would look really poor heading into the stretch down into the playoffs. There's some ramifications to it. The Broncos are sitting at 2-2. I think they're a better team. They blew one of the games, so huge games as far as how it relates to the playoffs way down the road and then what the ramifications are.
Now, Green Bay is in London taking on the Giants. Both teams are 3-1, and Aaron Rodgers said, Marty, after the win last week against New England, this style of play is not sustainable. I mean, they're winning. I guess that's kind of all that matters. But what's going wrong, air quotes, for the Packers through four games where they won three in a row?
Don't blink regarding the Packers. They're 3-1, and Aaron Rodgers, he will get his offense motoring the way he wants it. He's got a lot of young guys, a lot of new people. He'll get that thing rolling, kind of like Tom Brady, right? They're 2-2, and their offense just doesn't look finally, they scored some points against the Chiefs. But both of those great quarterbacks, Hall of Fame quarterbacks, they'll get their offense rolling. I wouldn't think twice. In fact, I think the Packers are sitting in such a great spot because they're 3-1 and their offense hasn't started rolling yet. Watch out when Aaron Rodgers gets that thing rolling.
Hey, Marty, go to the Ravens game, last Sunday, the fourth down play. Who would Harbs consult on that decision? And then how early would you be consulting on that decision?
Yeah, it would be many plays before that. And John is really good at giving his offensive coordinator the information needed. He has a singular line to the analytics man, and they talk about all the other things, the odds and percentages and all that. Let me tell you, John, he was just desperately trying to put his team in the best opportunity to win the game. I would think less about the decision-making, although I will tell you, some of these things have blown up on him. Last year, he went for two on two different occasions to win the game. They ended up losing it. I would look at, you know, rather than the decision-making, the scheme, putting the players in the best position to score. You've got the great Lamar Jackson from the two-yard line, for God's sake. Utilize him. It did surprise me a little bit. I would look at scheme and the execution of the scheme rather than the decision-making. And I was surprised that they didn't put Lamar on the move with some sort of run-pass option just because of his great skill and ability in both aspects, running and passing. Now, I will say it looked to me like the corner route was open immediately.
It was. The tackles killed him.
Yeah, so, you know, Lamar's got to see that, got to feed the ball to, and then they're in the right position. You know, I thought John Harbaugh explained it beautifully immediately after the game. And I would think any common person could understand the logic, whether you agree with it or disagree with it. And I will tell you also, Vinny, his biggest concern happened. His opponent drove right down the field, and then they started victorying it down at the plus one. So I think logically his decision-making is fine. I think the problem is several of them in the past year and a half has just blown up on him, and that's when the discussion starts. It's when you lose the game and you've made one of these decisions. If you win the game, if the defense just stops them and they get the ball back, kick and field, or go into overtime, nothing much is said about it.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Marty, let me ask you this. Like, when you were head coach, you know, also, like, would you consult in that situation like Harb's had? And like, when you were a head coach of the Lions, are you consulting the defensive coordinator too?
Yes. And you're talking about that throughout the series, typically. And John's really good, like I said, about, hey, Marty, if it's fourth and two or less, we're going for it. And that may be on first down. If it's fourth or three or more, we're kicking it. And so that gives you a little heads up on your play selection as well. And then in the meantime, the head coach has to be constantly discussing things with the defensive coordinator. Simply, can we stop him? Now, if the thing that blew up on him was the interception, right?
Yeah.
Because if it's just an incomplete pass, then they have the Buffalo Bills with their great offense backed up at the minus two. Is it different? Yes. Would it have turned out different? Probably not. You can't go back and replay these things. Or if you kick it and you're up by three and then the Bills get the ball at the 25, is it different because the Bills are down by three? Yeah, it's different. But does the outcome change? Probably not.
Hey, Marty, you know what was crazy was I was watching the All-22 this morning of the Bengals, you know, because Bob had told me yesterday, you know, that the last two games they've only been sacked three times. I put the film on, Marty, and maybe you've seen it already or you watched the game last Thursday night, but I said, whoa, that's a hot potato. He'd get rid of the ball so fast that those receivers have, you know, no chance to get off the line of scrimmage. I mean, kind of talk about, as an offensive head coach or an offensive coordinator kind of guy, you know, that my quarterback was sacked 16 times in the first two games. What do I got to do?
Right. That you've got to do something because it can't last, the great Joe Burrow. Now, Vinny, you know my thought process on sacks. It's typically about two-thirds of the sacks are quarterback-related. So let's just say in a conservative, half of the sacks are quarterback-related. So Joe Burrow himself can cut down on the sacks individually by himself, right? All right, so then schematically, you have to do something because it just wouldn't last for the young man at the quarterback position. So more quick throws, get him on the move a little bit more. He has to understand what the negative ramifications are to sacks. You want to stay away from sacks. Now, it's kind of ironic. The more active quarterback that you have, the more sacks you're going to live with, because he's running around and he'll take an extra sack or two a game. But that's the maximum you want. So when you have an active quarterback like Joe Burrow is, he's very active. He's very good inside the pocket and outside the pocket. But we have to minimize the bad plays. And Joe, much of that falls on the young Joe Burrow, and he'll learn as he goes.
Marty Morningweg joining us, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, as he does every Thursday. Marty, what do you got going on this weekend as Week 5 is upon us?
Well, I'll tell you, I've got two sons that are coaching in college football, so I feel like I'm a little part of that as well. I do the color for the Grizz, the Montana Grizzlies on TV, and they've got the bye week, and so I try to get to a couple of each of my son's games. My back's feeling just a little bit better, so I swung the golf club yesterday, and I might get out one time this weekend. How about you guys?
Well, where are you? Which game are you going to, Marty? Which college game are you going to?
I'm going to Carroll College. It's in Havre, Montana. It's about 5-hour drive from my spot, and kind of in the middle of nowhere against Northern Montana, who got beat up last week. So Carroll College should be favored in that game. And then my other son, Sky's coaching in the Ivy Leagues at Columbia, and I will get to his game, his homecoming game, in about 2 weeks from now. I've got the plane ticket. I've got the hotel room. Man, it's quite expensive in New York right now.
Yeah, compared to Montana.
Marty Morningweg. Yeah. Marty, appreciate your time as always. I'll be drinking beer, watching football. Same old, wash, rinse, and repeat. Enjoy the rest of your Total Request Thursday, Marty. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
Love it. You guys, too.
There you go, Marty Morningweg. It's expensive in New York this time of year. And every other time of the year. We'll come back. Speaking of expenses, do we have any money to pay ours? It's buy or sell. And then Todd Karpovich, SI.com, will preview the Ravens and Bengals. Ravens, Bengals, both 2-2. Ravens, 3-point favorites. Why? We'll talk to Todd about that and more here on The Fan.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7, The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7, The Fan. Total Request Thursday. Plenty going on in the world of sports, and we'll get to as much as we can. But right now, let's count that late week money by yourself.
The Dow's down 215. The S&P's down 25. The NASDAQ is down 51. DraftKings down 67 cents. Under Armour's down 8 cents. It says U.S. stocks fall as Fed official downplays hopes for rate hike pause.
Well, we'll start here with something you brought up during the whip around, Bob. The managers this year that were fired mid-season, guys stepping in on an interim basis. Phil Nevin with the Angels, he's earned the full-time job, at least for next year, despite their record being 46-59 since he took over. The other two guys, Phillies, Blue Jays, their interim managers, they're sending them to the postseason. Who knows if they'll even return with that team next year. But Bob, buy or sell, Nevin's staying signals that the Angels are entering a full rebuild.
What are we calling them now? I mean, a failed attempt at contending? I guess. I mean, rebuild means you kind of sacrifice highly regarded players like Otani and Mike Trout. So, I mean, they went in Madden, passed Buck Showalter to hire him. So, yeah, I'll buy it. I mean, they're in a division where they're perennials now. And that 106 games, Seattle reached the heights they expected. Oakland stinks. Texas, they failed. They spent a ton of dough, remember, this offseason.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't work out for them. So, yeah, why not rebuild? Ain't my money.
Tonight's matchup, not super enticing, but you can listen to it here on The Fan. And we got two veteran quarterbacks with their first year with a new team going head-to-head. But so far this season, both Matt Ryan and Russell Wilson have been a little underwhelming. In the case of Matt Ryan, it's been trending up the last couple weeks, a pair of touchdowns in each game, completing over 70% of his passes, but he hasn't thrown more than two touchdowns in a game since early October last year, and that was the only time he did it last year. Vinny, buy or sell Ryan will end that trend tonight against the Denver defense.
I am going to sell that, Norm. I don't think so. I think that Denver defense is pretty good.
Maybe one of their few strong spots right now.
Yes, it is. And kicker.
That right. Well, almost. Didn't come up with the 60, what was it, 60-yard or something like that? Let's see. Let's move over to college football here. The reigning Heisman winner, Bryce Young, he's day-to-day still after suffering that shoulder injury last week against Arkansas. You got a lot of intrigue with Alabama's game against Texas A&M, but the Crimson Tide, they're overwhelming favorites in terms of betting. Bob, buy or sell, it's pointless for Bryce Young to play this week at anything less than 100%.
Well, we all like to be 100%, don't we? And football players normally aren't 100% pretty much after the first day of practice. But they can beat Texas A&M. Texas A&M vastly overrated this year. And Jimbo and Nick Saban have kissed and made up. Nick Saban and Dion have kissed and made up because they're getting paid to do those Aflac commercials pretty handsomely to do so. Nah, if he's not ready to go, you can still beat them. You're at home, puffy pants him, and then bring him back for that run late in the season. Because they got Tennessee, Mississippi State, LSU the next 3 weeks, all ranked teams.
Well, back to tonight's game. We talked about the quarterbacks. How about the run game? Broncos, they brought back their running back committee from last season, decided to run it back this year, but they took a big hit. Javonte Williams out for the rest of the year with a knee injury. What does this mean for Melvin Gordon? The team did add Latavius Murray from the Saints practice squad. We've also got Mike Boone as a depth piece. He got some run in that last game, too. But Vinny, buy or sell, the Broncos will continue to be a running back committee with Murray, Boone, and Gordon.
I'll buy that just because Gordon puts the ball on the ground too much. So I think they'll use all three. And I think Murray will add a little something to him.
Yeah, he looked good last week.
Yeah, he runs north-south.
We'll close here with this, Bob, something you also brought up during the whip around. The Nationals, worst record in the majors this year. What did they do with Steven Strasburg? Since he was named World Series MVP, he got that massive extension in the following offseason. You know how many innings he's pitched since then?
37 or something.
Close, like 31 and a third.
Yeah, I read that a couple days ago.
Across 3 seasons. For him, various injuries obviously plaguing him, and the Nats, they're handcuffed. It's a no trade clause on that contract. Still 4 full years left on the deal. Buy or sell, this will end up like the Chris Davis situation with Strasburg retiring before his contract's up.
Oh boy, what's he, 34 now? Is that what you said? I think it's 34
he's
years
up
old.
There, yeah.
Yeah. He retires before the expiration of said deal. I'll buy that. And this guy's always had injury problems. He had Tommy John surgery his first when he came out of San Diego State, pitched well, then got hurt. They slow played him in the playoffs that year, probably to their detriment. Remember, they shut him down because they capped his innings. They wouldn't even let him pitch in the postseason, wasted one of the Nationals' best teams. Yeah, I'll buy that. I think he'll, 38 when it expires? I think he'll be done by then. So, injuries of he's really, really good when he pitches, but 31 innings in 3 years, that's unacceptable. When we come back, Todd Karpovich, Ravens getting blown out twice by the Bengals. That was unacceptable last year. How do they get revenge coming up Sunday night at M&T? Todd Karpovich, SI.com next. And then film study Bengals defensively. We talked about the offense. They got some issues there on the O-line. How do they look defensively going up against Baltimore's offensive line? We'll talk about that later in the hour.
105.7 The Fan, Baltimore's home for sports.
Total Request Thursday. You pick the songs at 410-583-1057. Plausible text sign. Get your votes in. Featured artist Friday, some Maiden. which is perfect for Turn It Up Tuesday. But right now, let's turn up the Ravens talk. Bob Adibisrato, Nolan McGraw's on the other side of the glass. Ravens 3-point favorites at home against Cincinnati. Covers them for SI.com and the Associated Press. He's on the Ashley Furniture Hotline. Let's welcome back to the show, Todd Karpovich. Todd, what's going on, man?
Hey, Bob. How's it going, guys?
Good. It's going all right. Andy Isabella, formerly of the Cardinals, now added to the nest. Why bring in a receiver? And Andy Isabella, we know what his skill set is, I guess, underachieved with the Cardinals. But why a receiver when we look at the Ravens as a team that might have other needs at this time?
Well, I don't think Bateman's going to be ready this week. He's wearing a boot, so he may not be available. So they'll have to add a guy. We asked John Harbaugh yesterday whether James Prochet could be an option there. And he sort of said yes, but I don't know how much – he's still on Prochet. So Prochet has not gotten a lot of snaps this season. So, yeah, they're going to need a guy to fill in there for Bateman if Bateman can't play.
Now, Ronnie Stanley, he's always the topic of conversation because he practices fully 2 days. Then he doesn't play. Back on the field yesterday, Todd, fully participating. Could this be the day that they debut their highly paid former All-Pro left tackle? Or is this still kind of – is it in Ronnie's court, if you will, the ability to play or the want to borrow a phrase from Buck Showalter?
Yeah, I think it's in Ronnie's court. I think he's been cleared to play. The thing is, yeah, this would be the week. Division rival game, AFC North, first place on the line. Ravens lost 5 games at home. Need to snap that losing streak, primetime game. Yeah, I think this would be the week that Ronnie Stanley makes his debut. If he doesn't, I really don't know when it would happen, but this has got to be the week. Full practice last week. It did rain on Sunday, so maybe that had something to do with going against Von Miller for his first game. Might have been a big challenge. I think this would be the week that Ryan Stanley's ready. If he doesn't play this week, then I really don't know what to say, to be honest, because he's been practicing the past 2 weeks.
They need him to play. I mean, watching that All-22, I mean, Hubbard and Hendrickson, I mean, they're relentless. They just go. They're like ever-ready batteries, man. You got to be ready to battle to take those two on.
Yeah, Henderson was the game record for them last year against the Ravens. These games weren't even close. I did feel there was a really big sense of urgency at Owings Mills yesterday. Ron Humphrey, he talked about all the first-round talent they have in the secondary, yet they're ranked 32nd against the pass. So he was pretty mad about that. He's pretty embarrassed by that. So he was like, yeah, we need to pick it up. He said, the numbers don't lie. It doesn't matter how much talent we have back there. We're ranked 32nd. We're dead last against the pass, and we've got to change that. And this would be the week to do it, because Joe Burrow threw for almost 1,000 yards against them last year in 2 games. And we all saw what Jamar Chase did. So, yeah, this is a big challenge. So this could be a statement game for the Ravens secondary to sort of get back on track here.
I think the whole key to this game, Todd, is it's going to be the pass rush, and I don't know if Houston's going to be ready. JPP, he didn't look good but what can you expect? Owe showed some flashes, but if they don't get pressure on Burrow, which everybody has because that offensive line sucks, then they're going to have a tough time.
Yeah, Burrow's taking 16 sacks this year, second in the league. Their offensive line, porous. But the Ravens, their weakness is the pass rush. Coming into the season, we knew that was a concern. And they thought, it would be a double-digit sack guy. He got his first sack last week. But, yeah, the Ravens, they got to find some pressure to get the Burrow. He's going to pick them apart. The secondary, I think, has been some of the problems in the secondary in the pass defense have been the front seven. Haven't been able to get pressure on quarterbacks. So that's been an issue. So, yeah, that'll be huge for the Ravens this week. The Bengals, and they're relentless too. So they're going to come at Lamar Jackson.
Hey, Todd, what I noticed? I was telling Bob earlier that, they're not, like early, the first 2 games of the season, they were like 11 up, and they were doing a ton of disguising. And they don't do that. I think they got simpler, feeling like they got simpler and the rookies are playing less. So we kind of know what happened with all the mental errors.
Yeah, that's the thing. They did better last year against the Bills with the mental errors. They actually played better. They should have won that game. The offense was shut out in the second half, so you can't blame it on defense. But, yeah, I asked Marlon Humphrey yesterday, was it a big transition in the Mike McDonald defense? That's a part of the issue. And he's like, no. He's like, guys are where they're supposed to be, just not making plays. He said, we do need to communicate better. But they're just, they figure they're a step away, a step too slow in doing what they got to do, and they need to make that better.
I think one of the biggest culprits, watching, you know, the film, Todd, Queen. I mean, Queen, sometimes he makes good plays, but I mean, I was telling Bob, I mean, like to start the third quarter, he made three plays in a row. You're like, what the hell is he doing? You know, the angles and, you know, and the missed tackling and, you know, missing the quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, if he catches that ball, it's probably a different ball game. You know, and in the prior week, he had a pick six against the Patriots he could have had. Yeah, so, you know, he's as a first-round pick, he should be contributing more. Yeah, I think, you know, Patrick Queen has sort of been a guy who struggled, and I don't know, you know, it might be who he is. You know, I don't know, you know, what really his ceiling is right now.
Todd Karpovich covers the Ravens, the Orioles, the Terps, everybody for SI.com and, of course, the Associated Press. You mentioned Bateman getting back to the offense in a boot. Justice Hill pulled up lame with a hammy. He didn't practice yesterday. We know Gus Edwards was back and looked great and all of the fun stuff that goes along with that one. But we're assuming Gus isn't playing. Justice Hill may be a long shot. So if he doesn't go, who's going to compliment J.K. Dobbins Sunday night against Cincinnati?
I would think it'd be Drake, but Mike Davis has been active over Drake the past two games. I like to see what Beatty can do. Mm-hmm. You know, give him a spark. You know, they have nothing to lose in the running game, and I think Beatty's the kind of guy that'd be a perfect complement to J.K. Dobbins. So we'll see. You know, but yeah, you know, Dobbins will get the run of the carries, and there might be, you know, they might mix it up with the backups. But I like to see Beatty get an opportunity here.
Hey, Todd, I tell you what, like if Justice Hill was healthy, I'd rather him get more carries than Dobbins just because that offense is so much better because of the explosive speed that Hill has compared to Dobbins. Dobbins, and I keep telling Bob, I mean, Dobbins is like the 2020 Ingram, averaging 3.2. He can't get through those holes, you know, whereas when Hill, it's like, damn, now that's the way it's supposed to be. And I agree with you. I wish they would put Beatty in there because he can provide that.
Yeah, and Hill's averaging 6.6 yards a carry.
Right.
He's double what Dobbins is doing. And of course, Dobbins coming up an injury. Yeah, I would see what Beatty can do. You know, they have nothing to lose here because Drake's only doing, 2.3. And Davis, you know, they gave Davis plenty of opportunities to be the short yardage guy, and he failed. You know, he missed one of his third and twos and fourth and ones. So, yeah, they got to mix it up with Hill out. They need to be creative with this running game.
Todd, tell everybody what you got going on at SI.com preparing people for this game Sunday night.
Well, I got my previews up. I got the – Bob, I have the Ravens winning again now.
And, oh, boy.
And there won't be an upset this week, but I think this is the week they right the ship. And I think, you know, also, you know, has Joe Burrow become the Ravens' arch nemesis? You know, he's talked a lot of that smack talk. It's sort of carried over to the regular season, you know, about, you know, and how he likes to match up with the Ravens. So that's something to look for, and it's SI.com/Ravens.
Todd, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the game Sunday.
Thank you, guys.
Yep.
Todd Karpovich, go to SI.com, read his preview. Let's get a phone call in here, Vinny, before we hit the break, mm-hmm. and then get the Bengals defense on film. Go to Owings Mills. It's Brian. Brian, what's happening?
Hey, Bob and Vinny, how you guys doing?
Doing good. All right.
Vinny, I got a question.
Go ahead.
Family deal, right? This guy, in the first 4 years, I think missed 12 games due to injuries in his first 4 years, right? Now he's listed. Two seasons with this ankle. Before that, Vinny, would you have given this man a contract after knowing his track history the first 4 years of the injuries? Now, there were injuries here and there, but I know he's missed at least 12 games in the 4 years with simple minor injuries here and there. Would that have been enough to warrant you to give this man a contract or wait until that end of the season to give him one?
Well, you know, it takes two to tango, and if he's willing to do it at that time, then yes. I mean, he'd just been to the Pro Bowl. He was the best left tackle in football.
First team all pro.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, I at that time, you know, I'm guessing that they thought that was a no-brainer. You know, we lock up, you know, we got Lamar. We're eventually going to have to sign him, and then we lock up our left tackle. You know, that's a home run.
Because I'm just thinking – me, the no-brainer would be waiting until the end of the season to do it. You signed him on a Friday. He was gone on that Sunday, and you ain't seen him back in two seasons.
Didn't Andrew sign during the season, too?
I think so, but Andrews is different. Andrews hasn't had a history of injuries. This guy has. That's what makes me scratch my head.
Ronnie really hadn't missed a lot of time prior to that.
I think in 4 years he's missed 12 games. I remember somebody bringing that number up. And that's what was alarming mm-hmm. to me, and the fact that they was – and that kid saying, well, yeah, he's the top guy in the league or whatever. Like, you know, according to, you know, Bleacher Report and other – I don't care about all that, dude. If this guy's missing time due to injuries like that, that's a concern. But anyway, that's just me. Okay. Love you guys. Have a good one.
All right, Brian. But hindsight's always 20/20.
Yeah.
I mean, at the time, it looked like a brilliant move.
No doubt.
But he did get hurt in the very next game against the Steelers and has played one since and played that game poorly.
That was,
now waiting for his long-awaited return. This is a guy that came off the PUP at the end of August. So
yes.
We're talking well over a month ago for Ronnie Stanley. He's been practicing, as Todd said. He's been cleared to play for some reason. Just isn't playing yet.
Waiting for Ronnie.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, break down the Bengals defensively. Film study-wise, NFL lunch coming up at 1 o'clock. What's happening in the National Football League? We'll talk about that. Going to hear from Joe Burrow. He met with the media, had some interesting things to say, as always. Look at our picks for this week. We got picks to make tonight. It's Thursday Night Football, and I'm trailing. Am I desperate? Am I Hail Mary heaving yet? I want to pick the Colts, but a lot of things are happening that are making me not want to do so.
It's only the first quarter.
It would be the dumbest thing maybe to pick Indianapolis. Or would it be Mike Harmon, Fox Sports Radio, SwollenDome.com. I Want Your Flex is the podcast. Fantasy football advice coming at a high level at 1:30.
Breaking down every last second of game tape for Sunday's matchup.
Who's your connection?
You sound like a cop to me.
Who's your connection?
Enter Vinny's Film Room on 105.7 The Fan.
Earlier in the show, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, total request Thursday. Vinny broke down the Cincinnati Bengals. Film study-wise, offensive line still bad. Joe Burrow still getting rid of the ball quickly. Joe Mixon can't run. So they have some issues there. T. Higgins, a little bit banged up heading into Sunday's game. But let's look at them now from a defensive standpoint. Film study.
Yeah, defensively. I mean, statistically, they're pretty good in most categories, you know. So defensively, here's what I liked about them. I think that Sam Hubbard, number 94, and Trey Hendrickson, 91, are really good football players. Really good football players. And both... they're pass rushers. They play the run well, but they play hard. They play like Judon plays, like every play like that. And I was really impressed with it. I mean, that's what makes their secondary good. That's that they get after the quarterback. You know, they don't have a ton of sacks, but they cause a lot of problems. And they haven't seen a quarterback yet like Lamar, you know, because they play basically backup quarterbacks. And I'm also impressed with B.J. Hill, number 92, the defensive tackle. I think he does a nice job. He's got like a sack and a half, too. But he does a good job fundamentally, and he gets off of blocks well. And he'll be the one that would be on Ben Powers. And I think he'll be able to kind of control Ben. Now, 68, Josh Tupou, I think he sucks. he plays small. He gets turned. I don't think he's got any pass rush. I'm not impressed with him at all. I just think he plays little. Whereas 92, I thought Hill does a real nice job. Because remember, Bob, when like as soon as I turned the tape on Buffalo, I said, "Damn, fundamentally these guys are really good." And you got 11 guys chasing the ball. They're not like Buffalo's defense. They're inside backers, Logan Wilson and Jermaine Pratt. I was really not impressed with Pratt, 57. I don't think he tackles. I don't think he's very instinctive, to be totally honest. Looks like he has some straight line speed, but he doesn't have very good change of directions, and he just looks like he's hesitant, you know, when he reads stuff. Logan Wilson, 55, the other backer, misses a lot of tackles, you know, and neither one of those. And I think this is good for Mark Andrews. They don't play pass defense very well. Against Miami, the middle of the field was wide open all day long. So hopefully that's the case, you know, but Mark Andrews is a different story, you know, than what the Dolphins had. But I was not impressed with the linebacker. Now, the secondary, I think they're really good. I think they have Jesse Bates, number 30, the free safety. He was a Pro Bowler last year. He deserves it. I mean, he's all over the field, makes plays. He'll tackle. Plays center field. He's got ball skills. He'll come up, make tackles. I liked him a lot. Von Bell, number 24, a strong safety. I think he's a good player, too. You know, so I think their safeties are good, and they'll play a lot of man coverage. Chidobe Awuzie, number 22. Now, he's got cover skills, and he can run, and he'll tackle. He blocked a field goal, so he's good on teams, too. But he doesn't play the ball well. Doesn't play the deep ball very well. He's the one Tyreek Hill beat down the middle of the field on that deep one. Mm-hmm. You know, so, but he can run and he can cover. Apples, you know, okay. Mike Hilton's a good nickelback. So I think their secondary is even better. I think what makes the secondary is Hubbard and Hendrickson, because those quarterbacks are usually under duress, because one of them is going to create some havoc. You know, if one of them gets blocked, they don't stay blocked. That's the thing. So I'm kind of impressed with those. I think that's what kind of makes the defense go. The two pass rushers and the secondary make the pass rushers go. They cover well. that's kind of what I got on all those guys.
So their pass rushers versus Ravens O-line advantage, Bengals?
Oh, yeah. Here's the thing. All right, let's say Ronnie Stanley's starting. And usually 94 lines up to the right tackle. 94 will be on Morgan Moses, Sam Hubbard. He's explosive off the ball. He can board. He's going to cause him some problems. All right? And then with Ronnie, with Hendrickson, you know, I mean, if Ronnie's back, he's going to have his work cut out for him, because, I mean, that's your first day. He ain't letting up, Bob. I mean, he's going 100 miles an hour every play. So that's going to be a tough challenge for Ronnie, because, you know, he doesn't look like that athletic. Stuff's moving all over the place and stuff, you know. But he's a going Jesse, man. I mean, if the Ravens had those two guys, you know how much better their defense would be?
Where could the Ravens have an advantage offensively versus their D?
What I would do is I'd run misdirection type stuff. I don't think their inside backers are very good, Bob. So, like, middle of the field. And I think their secondary's, you know, pretty good. They should be able to run the ball inside, I think. Run it up inside, because I don't think their nose tackle 68 is very good, and I don't think their linebackers are very good. So I think running up inside might be the thing. Throwing in the middle, not deep middle, but, you know, intermediate and short middle. And I don't think the corners are big guys, but if Bateman's not playing, you know, I mean, what receiver scares you? You know, I don't know that anybody scares you. If they line up and press coverage and put an extra guy in the box to take care of Lamar, you know, because you're not worried about the receivers. That's the thing that scares me. And the other thing, Bob, is Dobbins doesn't scare me. You know, I mean, if that's going to be your featured guy, you know, he doesn't do anything for me as he is right now.
What's going on with Dax Hill? Doesn't look like he's doing a lot. Rookie season out of Michigan. First round draft pick.
I didn't even see him. Is he healthy,
Bob? He's played one game.
I know.
I was just looking at the injury reports.
I'm right there with you, because I thought I liked him. To be totally honest, Bob, I mean, way back when, I thought he was a better fit for the Ravens than Hamilton, just because he played at Michigan and McDonald and all, you know, and he would know the system. But I don't know what's going on there, but Jesse Bates is a hell of a player. Yeah,
that might be the reason. Anyway, I picked Nick Cross to win Defensive Rookie of the Year, and I think he got benched after a game and a half in Indianapolis. Maybe he'll get off the pines tonight against the Denver Broncos. Gabe Huguet here on 105.7 The Fan. More football talk coming up at 1 o'clock, NFL lunch. We'll start digging into our picks a little bit here around 1:15. And fantasy football coming your way at the highest level. Mike Harmon, Fox Sports Radio, SwollenDome.com. I Want Your Flex is the podcast. He's going to give you advice. Take the advice and you will win. It's Mike Harmon, 1:30 here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.